This is Speaking of Writers. I'm Steve Richards. The book is The Last Outlaws, The Desperate Final Days of the Dalton Gang. It's on St. Martin's Press. It's coming out on November 7th. New York Times bestselling author Tom Clavin tells for the first time the full story of the infamous Coffeyville bank heist perpetrated in 1892 by the Dalton Gang. Clavin, known and admired for his immersive narrative style, traces the lives of the Daltons and their accomplices to illuminate in riveting detail another fascinating and violent moment in early American history. Tom Clavin is a number one New York Times bestselling author and has worked as a newspaper editor, magazine writer, TV and radio commentator, and a reporter for the New York Times. He has received awards from the Society of Professional Journalists, Marine Corps Heritage Foundation, and National Newspaper Association. His books include the bestselling Frontier Lawman Trilogy, Wild Bill, Dodge City, and Tombstone, and Blood and Treasure with Bob Drury. Makes his home in beautiful Sag Harbor, New York. He's got a website, tomclavin.com. Happy to welcome back to this program and on Zoom for the very first time on this program.
Thank you. Tom Clavin. Aren't we modern? Yes, aren't we modern?
Now we're modern, yes.
No more cell phone conversations.
That's right. So The Last Outlaws, what led you to the Daltons?
It was kind of a natural progression because I'd done, you mentioned this Frontier Lawman trilogy. I had, the Wild Bill begins basically right after the Civil War. Then you have Dodge City in the 1870s, and in the early 1880s, you have Tombstone. And I'd done a book called about the Texas Rangers, Follow Me to Hell. It took place in the mid-1870s. It was sort of like the stories of the American frontier were becoming, for me anyway, fewer and far between. The Daltons were, you can't really call them the very last of the gangs that preyed on the American frontier in the 1800s, but they were probably the most well-known, at least at their time, outlaws, and they operated mostly in the 1890s. So the idea was, instead of trying to look for something backwards, why not just keep going and play out the rest of the 19th century until it ends? And the book, The Last Outlaws, while the Coffeyville event, which is the climactic event of the book, takes place in 1892, remnants of the gang were not either jailed or killed until several years later. So it's sort of like the Wild West, what was left of it, was coming to an end as the century was coming to an end. So it just seemed like a natural progression to do a book about that period and about that particular gang.
You mentioned the Wild West. It was in the waning moments of the Wild West at this time. 1892 is the year. What's going on there?
You know, for much of the rest of the country, it was already making way for getting ready for the 20th century. You know, there's one part passage or a couple of passages in the book where it talks about the expositions that were taking place, what was being invented, light bulbs, motion pictures. It's kind of a funny part that I think in the book anyway, that several of the characters in The Last Outlaws, those who survived, of course, ended up going into the motion picture business. In fact, Emmett Dalton, who was one of the three Dalton brothers who participated, the only one of the three who survived the Coffeyville shootout, ended up becoming a producer in Hollywood, lived in Los Angeles. So on the one hand, a lot of America is riding along with this wave of technology and invention into the 20th century. With the Dalton brothers, you still have that. It's almost like they were in their way they did things, and even the way they thought, they were still in the 1870s. They were still in the 1880s. They were still robbing banks. They were still evading the laws. They were looking for hideouts. They were being chased by lawmen the old-fashioned way on horseback. There's one scene in the book where there's a bank robbed, and the reason they contacted the marshal in the town next door, they called him on the phone. That didn't happen in the Jesse James days of the Wild Bill days. So it's kind of interesting to have that contrast between what was still the remnants of the Wild West, yet was modern society was really becoming more sophisticated, especially back east.
The Daltons, who were these guys? They're from the Midwest, right, originally?
They're from Oklahoma. Oklahoma, Kansas. The Daltons had, not unusual for the time, were a rather big family. So some were born in Kansas, some were born in Missouri, some were born in Oklahoma as they moved around. They were they were pretty typical family for that time, where they had they were farmers. Some of their children became farmers. The daughters, of course, the idea for them was to marry them off They some were educated, some have been educated maybe only up to third or fourth grade, some were educated a little further. And actually, one of the Dalton children was killed in the line of duty as a deputy marshal. So it wasn't like they grew up as a lawless family. What did happen, though, is that several of the brothers, there was Grat, Bob, Bill, and Emmett, they eventually became kind of aggrieved. They felt like the law was working against them, that they got bad luck, which some of it was bad luck. And so their way of dealing with that was to hearken back to their relatives, the Cole brothers, Cole Younger brothers, and become outlaws. I think there's a romantic notion to it. I mean, we still have it to this day where there's a sort of a romantic connection to the outlaw life. Although in reality, it was a very, very difficult one. You're constantly being hunted. You're constantly being threatened by being shot, by going to jail for significant amounts of time, if not for the rest of your life. So the Daltons were people who had pretty much given up the idea that they could fit into a modern society. And for them, they really didn't think beyond what was the next bank heist, what was the next robbery, what was the next thrill, and eventually caught up with them.
Tom, where do the Daltons rank in terms of feared family gangs of the time?
They rank very high because the Daltons operated in Missouri and Kansas. They even went as far as California, New Mexico. They were it's one of the things I write about in the book, The Last Outlaws, is that it got to the point, and this had happened with Jesse James and his gang too, that every time there was a bank robbery or a coach robbery or a train robbery, anything like that, it's the Daltons. They were sightings of the Daltons 500 miles apart in the same day, which of course is impossible. So the idea was that you had to fear the Daltons, even though in their own Oklahoma, you know, backcountry, they had a lot of friends. I mean, one of the reasons why they stayed outlaws and escaped the law for so long as they did is a lot of the people who knew them when they were kids, knew their parents, would help hide them, would help keep them evade the law. So on the one hand, they were sort of considered favorite sons, local boys. On the other hand, for a larger part of the population, they'd be afraid of the Daltons. They could be knocking on your door next.
This Coffeyville raid in October 1892, they actually they robbed two banks on the same day, right?
That was the plan. They weren't in trouble enough and didn't have enough lawmen. One of the things I liked about writing The Last Outlaws is that I get to spend time with lawmen like Heck Thomas, is one of my favorite lawmen and kind of an overlooked, but he was really one of a lawman's lawman. He's kind of a Rooster Cogburn type from True Grit. He was right on their trail along with other lawmen. So the smart thing would have been to lay low. Well, no, they decided, why don't we go to Coffeyville, Kansas, which is not far from where several of them, the Dalton boys grew up, put on some fake mustaches, and we're going to go not rob one, we're going to rob two banks in broad daylight. And one of the things they thought they had going for them is that Coffeyville, trying to be a progressive town, 1892, guns were banned. So even the marshal didn't wear a gun. Mm-hmm. So you had the Daltons riding into town, the three Dalton brothers and two of their accomplices, loaded to the max with Winchesters and pistol shooters and everything else. They'd heavily armed, walking in there. They figured just waltz into these two banks, grab the cash out of the safe, and waltz right out again. Well, things went very wrong.
We're chatting with Tom Clavin here on Speaking of Writers. The Last Outlaws, The Desperate Final Days of the Dalton Gang. It's his new book coming out on November 7th. It is on St. Martin's Press. You're talking about some of the colorful characters. There are so many of them in this book. From the James brothers to Cattle Annie and Little Breeches.
Right.
To the Dalton women, too. Any other favorites? You mentioned one earlier.
Well, Heck Thomas is definitely one of my favorites. You know, the Dalton's mother is an interesting character because she was the one who was related to the Youngers, which was an outlaw brothers team of 20 years earlier. And this poor woman, every time one of her sons came to visit, she had to wonder if it was the last time she was going to see him because she lost a couple of sons. As I mentioned before, one of them was a deputy marshal. She was a very interesting character to me. What I like to do in a book, and several people who like my books will say that one of the reasons why I like my books, and I'm sure there are those who don't like it for this reason, I like to take detours. You know, we'll come across a character who could be a sheriff of a county in middle Kansas that would maybe in some other book, be no more than a sentence. You know, so-and-so was contacted, and he said he would raise a posse and go after the Dalton brothers. Well, you know, that particular sheriff may have had a very interesting background, an interesting life. And so I want to go in that direction if that's the case. So sometimes there will be detours into other characters and what their lives were like. There's bits and pieces that come that are kind of funny and bizarre that I like to include. There's when one of the outlaws in the book gets buried in a cemetery, buried next to him was another outlaw who didn't get buried until 70 years later. He was killed the same time as the Dalton outlaw. But I tell the story of where this body was for 70 years. It really was well-traveled. And eventually it was discovered in a warehouse in Los Angeles by a crew filming the television show The $6 Million Man. So it's kind of strange but true. I like to include that. So people be prepared. There is the main story of the Dalton brothers, and then the Doolin Dalton gang, which came after them, had a couple of years of notoriety. But there's also going to be these interesting characters, interesting events that I sort of branch off to. I'll bring you back to the main trail. But there's a few tributaries that's fun to sail on.
Yeah, you like those detours.
Yes.
What was the research process like for this book? What kind of material did you find and use?
Well, fortunately, there was, by the time the Daltons were most active in the late 1880s and early 1890s, most towns had a newspaper, if not two, if not three. You know, I'm very proud to say that one of the things that made the frontier sort of quote unquote civilized is because it was had very devoted and dedicated newspaper editors and publishers that sometimes had to risk their lives because there were still outlaws around and said, you know, well, the way I'm going to stop these bad stories about me is I'm going to kill a newspaper editor. Mm-hmm. So there were a lot of newspapers of contemporaneous sources of newspaper accounts. I mean, a big part of the Coffeyville event that you mentioned is October 5th, 1892, was written about in the Coffeyville Journal. But the editor himself covered the shootout and wrote about it extensively, and not just the hours, but the days and weeks afterwards. So there was that. There was also Emmett Dalton, the only survivor of the shootout of the brothers. He wrote not one, but two autobiographies about 10 years apart. Now, especially the second one has to be taken with a grain of salt, because by then he was somewhat of a respectable, solid citizen. The first one is really full of fascinating details about the events of the Dalton brothers there, where they went here and there, and who they were with, the women, their wives, they're not wives. So the research process for this book was thankfully not as arduous as some other books. There was a good amount of material available. Just had to be patient and read everything that was out there.
I mentioned in the introduction, Tom, you're admired for your immersive narrative style. How did you develop that style?
You know, I think it developed me. What I meant by that is I think of myself as a storyteller. So I don't necessarily sit down and say, okay, I'm going to take advantage of my style. But my style is to try and tell the story as accurately and as entertainingly as possible. And it is filled with a lot of detail. Not too much. I hope that somebody's, you know, yawning and turning the page. Oh, this is too much for me. I hope they're turning the page because they want to get to the next chapter. But that's what so I think the style sort of evolved over time, that I'm just trying to tell as good a story as enjoyably as I can. And that's my style. Just tell a good story, tell it, make sure it's based on fact, and tell it in a way that people are going to say, boy, that was good. I can't wait till the next book comes out.
And speaking of the next book coming out, I know you're always working on a project or two. What is next for you after this one comes out on November 7th?
Well, next April, I don't think a particular date has been picked yet, so I'm going to assume it's next April. I have my next book, I think it's my eighth, with Bob Drury, who's my good friend. And our last book together was a World War II story, The Last Hill. But our next book is called A Throne of Grace. And we're going back to the 1820s with the Mountain Men. In the northern, you know, North America, the fur trade. Jedediah Smith is our main character, who's a fascinating character. He was sort of the Lewis and Clark, right after Lewis and Clark. I mean, and he outdid Lewis and Clark. Lewis and Clark made that one great, extraordinary Corps of Discovery journey that started basically in the St. Louis area, went to the West Coast, made his way back. Smith did that three times in the 1820s. And he had all these amazing adventures that took place. He was sort of like the example of the expansion to the detriment of the indigenous population, but the expansion of the white migrants and farmers and explorers who were heading out to the Rocky Mountains and New Mexico and Santa Fe and those areas. Fascinating character. So that book with Bob Drury called Throne of Grace is going to come out, I believe, next April.
All right, but the book coming out on November 7th on St. Martin's Press is The Last Outlaws, The Desperate Final Days of the Dalton Gang. The author is Tom Clavin. You can connect with Tom Clavin online. His website, TomClavin, all one word, .com. You're also on Substack too, right?
I am. I do a column that gets posted every Wednesday morning, Tom Clavin. It's at Substack.com. It's fun. It's usually about American history. Every so often there's a departure, but if people want to go to Tom Clavin at Substack.com, I hope you're entertained by whatever took my fancy that week about the American history.
Thank you for joining me, Tom.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
And this is Speaking of Writers.